Have you ever noticed how often we focus on our limitations? How we let them keep us from serving God? How we see limitations as a hindrance in our lives? Sometimes they are an excuse to not serve God. Limitations such as our health, our age, our opportunities, our responsibilities, some physical characteristic we don't like about ourselves, our finances. The list could go on and on. Limitations often keep us from serving God. But I'd like to share a true story with you this morning. Many years ago now, we had a young man attending our church. He was married with three children. Though he had a good career, God was stirring his heart. And as he grew in the Lord, he felt God calling him to the ministry. So he made the decision to leave his job and move his family to another city where he attended seminary. God had given him a love for the pastorate and especially for preaching. There was just one problem he had struggled throughout his life with: stuttering. Many might have been deterred and let this limitation stop them, but he believed God could use him, limitation and all. As a result, he became a powerful and dynamic speaker. What can God do in our lives if we will trust our limitations to Him? You see, God is as likely to use our limitations to serve Him as He is to use our strengths, maybe even more so, because too often our strengths bring us glory. But when God overrules our limitations, He gets the glory. I'd like to illustrate that truth this morning from the book of Judges. We'll begin with an intro to the book and then briefly look at the first four judges of Israel, with special attention to the second, third, and fourth judges, who despite limitations did great things for God. The book of Judges covers a dark period in Israel's history. It covers the period between the conquest of Canaan and the monarchy. It was a time of disobedience and failure for the people of God. The last verse of the book serves as a great summary of the book. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Loyalty to God was hard to come by, as the people were more likely to be influenced by the false gods of the land than they were to influence the people of the land. God, through Moses, had instructed his people that when they came into the land, they were to eliminate the corrupting influence of the lascivious religions of the land by destroying them totally, by not intermarrying with the people of the land, and by destroying their altars and idols. But Israel did not. The judges were civil and military leaders whom God raised up to deliver his people. The book of Judges describes seven cycles of failure by the Israelites: a downward spiral of sin, oppression, crying out to God, God raising up a deliverer, giving them victory, and then a period of rest, only to have the cycle repeat itself. Because they did not rid the land of its idolatry, it became a snare to Israel. The NLT, Daily Study Bible, makes the point that often we do the same thing. We choose to tolerate sin rather than drive it out of our lives. There's a lesson for us today in that we must get rid of the corrupting influences in our lives or face failure and bondage to sin. We must deal with the unconquered sins in our lives. Compromise will only bring failure. When we cry out to God, He restores us. Othniel was the first of the judges. He's not the focus of our study this morning, but just to mention that after years of subjugation, God raised him up to deliver the Israelites. Othniel's major characteristic was that he was loyal to God, willing to be used by him when all others were disloyal. God can do amazing things through a man or woman who will make themselves available to him. The three judges who are the focus of our study this morning are Judges 2, 3, and 4 in Israel: Ehud, Shamgar, and Deborah. They did not let their limitations keep them from being used of God to do great things for him. Ehud was left-handed, which was considered a defect by ancient Israel, and used the advantage it gave him to deliver Israel. Shamgar had only farm implements available to him, yet he subdued the Philistines. Deborah rose above the limitation of the patriarchal society of the day to win a great victory as God's chosen judge. J. Vernon McGee explains, all of the judges had some defect, some odd characteristic or handicap, which God used. The judges reveal that God can use any man or woman, I would say, who is willing to be used. Well, we find the story of Ehud in chapter 3, starting at verse 12. Once again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and because they did this evil, the Lord gave Eglon, king of Moab, power over Israel. Getting the Ammonites and Amalekites to join him, Eglon came and attacked Israel, and they took possession of the city of palms. The Israelites were subject to Eglon, king of Moab, for 18 years. Again and again, they cried out to the Lord, and he gave them a deliverer, Ehud, a left-handed man, the son of Gera, the Benjamite. The Israelites sent him with tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Ehud had made a double-edged sword about a foot and a half long, which he strapped to his right thigh under his clothing. He presented the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab, who was a very fat man. After Ehud had presented the tribute, he sent on their way the men who carried it. At the idols near Gilgal, he himself turned back and said, I have a secret message for you, O king. The king said, quiet, and all his attendants left him. Ehud then approached him while he was sitting alone in the upper room of his summer palace and said, I have a message from God for you. At that, the king rose from his seat. Ehud reached with his left hand, drew the sword from his right thigh, and plunged it into the king's belly. Well, you know that the king died right then and there on the spot. And later his servants came and found the doors of the upper room locked. They waited to the point of embarrassment, but they did not open the door. They finally took a key and unlocked it, and there they found the king fallen to the floor, dead. Ehud then roused Israel, and they had a great victory over the Moabites that day. Verse 30 tells us, that day Moab was made subject to Israel, and the land had peace for 80 years. You see, God raised up Ehud to take on this Moabite alliance. One writer calls him the left-handed wonder, because that was his uniqueness. God used his difference to bring about a great victory. That was his qualification to be used. Some considered it a weakness, some considered it a disability in that day, but to God, it was his qualification to be used by God. His unique characteristic is that he was left-handed, but that was also his unique advantage. You see, Eglon's bodyguards would have checked his left side for a weapon, for most of them were right-handed in that day, but they would not have checked his right side. You see, Ehud did not accept his limitation, but he turned it into an advantage. He turned his weakness to advantage. He turned his disadvantage to an advantage and won a great victory for Israel. Verse 31, we have the story of the third judge in Israel. After Ehud, we read, came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel. See, Shamgar used what he had. His limitation was that he had no weapons of war. The only thing available to him was an ox guard, a bronze-tipped sharp stick to to move animals along with one end of the blade for having a blade rather for cleaning a plow. Shamgar used what he had available to him. Though he had no weapons of war, he won a great victory against the mighty Philistines, striking down 600 of them, and we're told that he too saved Israel. Another example that he did not accept his limitation. He did not use his limitation as an excuse, but turned it to an advantage. The fourth judge that we want to look at this morning is, or the third judge that with a limitation is the fourth judge in Israel. That was Deborah. Her story is found in chapter 4, verse 1 through chapter 5, verse 31. We read in chapter 4 and verse 1, after Ehud died, the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sent them into the hands of Jabin, a king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Because he had 900 iron chariots and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give them into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go, but if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Very well," Deborah said, "I will go with you, but because of the way you're going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh, where he summoned Zebulun and Naphtali. 10,000 men followed him, and Deborah also went with him. God had sold the people of Israel into the hands of the Canaanites as a consequence of their sin. God raised up Deborah as their judge, and Deborah shines forth in a patriarchal society. Deborah shines forth in a male-oriented society. She was an exceptional leader who was raised up by God for this very moment. She was one of the many outstanding women leaders in the Bible, along with others such as Abigail, Priscilla, Rahab, Ruth, Tamar, Huldah, and other judges, other prophetesses rather, such as Huldah and Miriam and Anna and Philip the evangelist's four daughters. You see, she wasn't God's second choice, as if since no man was available, she would do. She was God's choice because she was an exceptional leader. And though being a woman in a patriarchal society could have been seen as a hindrance, it didn't hinder her from serving God and being used by God. They had a great victory that day, and Deborah concedes that she will go. But she tells Barak the consequence will be is that a woman will get the honor of the victory. Many believe she's talking about herself there. Others believe she may be talking about Jael of chapter 4, verse 21, who actually killed Sisera, another woman. Well, Ehud, Shamgar, and Deborah did not let their limitations keep them from being used by God to do great things. You see, there are a multitude of excuses not to trust God, not to step out in faith. They're to let our limitations overrule the possibilities that God wants to accomplish through us. God can use us, whatever our limitations, to accomplish His purpose if we'll give them to Him. I like what John Maxwell said. Good leaders never embrace a victim mentality. They recognize that who and where they are remain their responsibility, not that of their parents, their spouses, their children, the government, their bosses, or their co-workers. Let me ask this morning, what unique quality or ability do you have that God can use? Or more importantly, what unique quality do you think is a deterrent to God using you? Turn it over to God and allow Him to use it. Our abilities can be an impediment to serving God, but He often uses our disabilities. Prepare yourself, one writer said, for the opportunities God is waiting to provide for you. As you pray this morning, if you feel limitations are holding you back, ask God to show you how to use that you can use that limitation to serve Him.